ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय 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 Nigama kalpataro galitam phalam shukamukad amrita dravyasham yitam vibhata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavata. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. We'll read a little bit of the purport. In the two previous shlokas, it has been definitely proved that Srimad Bhagavatam is the sublime literature, which surpasses all Vedic scripture due to its transcendental qualities. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane literature. In this shloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but it is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering all this, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. With great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lessons imparted by the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the last of three verses spoken by Srila Vyasadeva at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam that describe the glories and the goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We went over the first verse, which we can visualize, where the Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva in the mature realization, in his samadhi, he envisioned the absolute truth, and that mature realization, he submits himself and offers obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom he names specifically. Prabhupada substantiates that in the purport. And then he describes the characteristics of the Supreme Lord. Supreme means unique. So the characteristics that differentiate or distinguish God, who is Krishna, from anyone else are described. And then, of course, the supreme truth, Param Satyam Dhimahi. Therefore, that should be the focus of our thoughts and consciousness. And then we went to the second verse, which, as described here, showed how Srimad Bhagavatam was a superior Vedic, it's a superior Vedic literature, because it's Amala Puranam, it's pure. It's pure religion. Sometimes it's dharma, religion, I say it's duty. What we should do. It only deals with the eternal nature of the living entity, which is as a servant of Krishna. That's the standard. It only discusses pure devotional service. Kim ba parai Ishvara. So wonderful. It's written in the mature realization of the author of the Vedas. it discusses that reality that was discussed in the first verse. Not the illusion. Not the illusion of this world. The illusion that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. This is mine. I am this body. Everything in relationship is mine. I am the enjoyer. Not, it doesn't discuss the illusion, but it actually discusses vastavam atra vastu. It actually discusses the substance. The absolute truth. And part of the absolute truth is the living entities. And part of that absolute truth is that the living entities are servants of God. And that's the pure and ultimate state of perfection, as Prabhupada said. The perfected state of living entity is called the devotee. And that by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, without delay, from whatever status of life one may be in, if he has that culture, if he approaches it in the proper way, with the sincere desire to actually serve Krishna, and the sincere desire to hear Krishna's glories, then the Supreme Lord can appear within one's heart. You don't have to go through the gradual process of elevating your modes and your... But immediately, very rapidly, you can actually achieve perfection. Very rapidly you can achieve perfection. So it's described, therefore it's superior. And now it's not only superior, but it's the ripened fruit. It's the ultimate investment, the fruit, this word, phalam, fruit, means the end result. There's so many in growing an orchard and growing, there's so many things that one is doing, but there's a purpose behind it. The end result. The whole end result. The end result is not just the fruit, but when it ripens. The end result. The ripened fruit is the end result. The end result is very wonderful, very tasty. So all the Vedic knowledge. There's so many activities for purification in the Vedic knowledge. There's so many activities. So many, so much knowledge, even knowledge of the material world, how one can be situated peacefully in the material world, how one can fulfill his desires even in the material world, so that he will continue to grow towards perfection. He'll continue to become purified. There's so many activities that are mentioned for all standards of people in this world and how they can gradually be elevated. So much is there. But the Srimad Bhagavatam discusses the purpose of everything. The essence. The cream. It's the cream of the Vedic literature. The cream is the essence. It's the very best thing that you can extract from the milk. When you take out all the water, when you take out everything else, and you purify it, then you get the cream. It's the most relishable part. It's the best thing. It's the real essence of everything. So the Srimad Bhagavatam also, it's the essence of the Vedic literatures. Because there's so many nice ways to look at it. It's the essence. It's the ripened fruit. Right? Either way you say it, it comes out to the best thing that you can get from something. But it's not only the analogy of the milk. Milk is also good. but the cream is what you want. But in this analogy, the fruit, the analogy of the fruit is even better, because the fruit is the goal. The goal of the tree, you grow an orchard, it's the tree, and the ripened fruit is the goal. So therefore, it's indicating the standard of this literature, that it's the ripened fruit, the real thing that you want to get. And the end result is the best thing also. And since the Nigama Kalpa Torah, that the Vedic trees is a desire tree. In other words, it fulfills your desires. It gives you what you want. Nigama Kalpa Torah. That not only it gives you what you want. Vedic literature gives you what you want. So it fulfills your desires, but the best thing. So Nigama Kalpa Torah Galitam Palam. The Vedic literatures, Kalpa Torah, the desire, the Vedic literatures are like a desire tree. Because what you want, you can get. This is the way the Supreme Lord has organized the world. That when you want something, to get it, you have to become purified. That's the way the world works. That if you have to undergo some kind of purification. That's the way the material world is organized. Sahayagya praja shrishva parovacha prajapati anena prasavishyadvam eshavo swishta kamaduk. The Lord created the world so that there's sacrifice and asked one to perform sacrifice. Purification. Sacrifice means yagya. Giving up. Sacrificing. And by that sacrifice, you can get everything desirable and liberation. Because by the sacrifice, which is basically pure consciousness, is sacrifice. Material world is fruit of consciousness, kaitava. The opposite of kaitava or taking for yourself is yagya, or giving for others. So to purify material consciousness, there's yagya. So the material world is organized that by this yagya, by this sacrifice, you can get, by this sacrifice, you can get your needs met. So it's so nice how Krishna's organized the world, that getting the things you want due to your material consciousness, that to really get them, you have to become purified to get them. You have to perform some sacrifice. So Nigama Kalpa Torah. So the Vedic literature is like a desire tree, because it's you can get what you want there. And you can get it in a way that not only satisfies your desires, but purifies you and brings you closer to the goal or perfection. But the ripened fruit, the fully matured fruit, is Krishna and our service to him. Nigama Kalpa Torah Galitam Palam. Galitam, the fully matured, the goal is to serve Krishna. And that's the fruit. Then the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vedaish Chasarvair, Aham Eva Vedyo, Vedanta Krid Vedavit, Eva Chaham. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. So that's actually the purpose. And of course, the danger is, anyway, we'll discuss that later. So you can get whatever you want from the Vedas, but this is the goal. This is the goal. The goal is not. It's actually, if you look at it, the desire tree of the Vedic literatures, but the ripened fruit is the ripened fruit, the best thing, and also the goal, is to establish ourselves in our eternal relationship to Krishna. And that's what the Srimad Bhagavatam is about. It's about that wonderful, tasty thing. This is called rasa. Rasa is intensified affection for Krishna. It's perfect love. It's ripened love. It's full love. It's perfect love. And that perfect love of rasa is the essence of Krishna's own pleasure potency. And it's the essence of our pleasure, is to have that feeling of intensified affection within our heart. That's our pleasure. I often describe, or I've said many times, that the nature of love is that the object and the subject enjoy the same love, but from different perspectives. The mother loves the child. So the child is enjoying the maternal affection, and the mother is enjoying the same maternal affection, but from the position of subject. The mother is the object. She's enjoying that love. So Krishna is the object of love, and that's his pleasure. And when we love him, we become the subject of love, then we enjoy the same pleasure. We relish the same pleasure. And that's what the Bhagavatam is about. Bhagavatam means Bhagavatam, or Bhagavatam means unto Krishna. So this is about Krishna, about service to Krishna. Jiva Goswami says that some people say that the Bhagavatam, there's rasa in the Bhagavatam. But Jiva Goswami says it's simply composed of rasa. Everything is that intensified affection for Krishna. Because everything is either about the devotees, or even if when it's a devotee speaking, even if a devotee is speaking about, you know, it's all conversations between devotee, but when a devotee is speaking, he's speaking with love for Krishna. Even if the devotee describes the universal form, he's seeing that that's a manifestation of Krishna, so he's speaking it with love. So in the Bhagavatam, either we have descriptions about Krishna and his devotees, or Krishna, or a devotee describing Krishna, but it's that intensified affection that's manifest all through the Bhagavatam. And that by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, then that same affection comes to our heart. This is what Rasa Shastra means. This is, we understand when there was a drama, then by watching the drama, then gradually one begins to identify with the protagonist of the drama. And gradually, whatever feelings the protagonist have come to the person watching it when he's qualified. So similarly, by hearing the Bhagavatam, whatever intensified affection of feelings that the devotees have, when the Srimad Bhagavatam is heard properly, those same feelings will come into your heart, just like someone watches a movie and it's a love story, and then, you know, the boy and the girl come out of the movie and they have intense love for each other. If it's a comedy, you come out of the, you know, thing with, you know, tremendous laughter in your heart. If it's fear, if it's a horror movie, then you feel that fear. So the Bhagavatam, it has that and can be experienced. Therefore, Prabhupada says, in this shloka, it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is liberated, can be experienced in the literature of the Bhagavatam, being the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. It can be experienced. By submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain the full pleasure of his heart's desire. And the full pleasure of our heart's desire is this pleasure of love that can enter in our heart. We can see in the material world how we identify pleasure with lust. I can enjoy, I can control. And that feeling coming from the heart, we can see how it actually burns the heart. It doesn't actually, but when actually love is flowing through the heart, then that's the full pleasure of one's heart's desire. So this perfected, this perfected affection is described in the Bhagavatam, and it can be experienced by actually hearing the Bhagavatam. So this is actually the fruit. This is actually the fruit. Yoginam api sarvesham madgetena taratmanam shadhavam bhajate yomam. Well, yogi is the highest one, who is one who is worshipping Krishna with love and devotion. So the very best thing, which is actually the goal of the Vedas, is available in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpa tarua. The Vedas are like a desire tree, galitam palam, and the fruit, not only the fruit, but the fully matured fruit. The fully matured fruit. It's superior. Then even, it's not only, in other words, it's not only a superior literature, but the ripened fruit. Now, superior literature means about devotional service. But it's not only about a devotional service, it's about perfected devotional service. And that's all there is perfected devotional service. Intensified affection for Krishna. Heightened and perfect. Intensified affection for Krishna. As his devotees love him. An intensified appreciation for Krishna. Shantaras. Intensified servitude towards Krishna. Dasyaras. Intensified friendship for Krishna. Saktiras. Intensified parental affection, vatsalyas, intensified conjugal affection, shringararas, madhuyaras, fully described and can be experienced in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is actually the goal of life. Prema, pumartha. Prema for every man, pumartha. The goal, the artha, the wealth, the thing that has the most value, the goal. Prema, pumartha, mahan. Mahan means the great. The greatest goal is this love of Godhead. And what is love of Godhead? It's the essence of Krishna's own pleasure potency. So this is described to be experienced in the Bhagavatam. And if we can actually hear systematically, it will actually qualify. Borijan gave the example, it was very nice, like digestive power. The digestive power. It'll give us the digestive power to actually eat the tons and tons of samosas and glove jubbins of love of Godhead. But not get sick. But it'll give us unlimited digestive power to relish the rich and sweet fruit of all the Vedic literatures. Now this is in it. You got a desire tree which is good, right? The desire tree, you can get anything you want. But on the desire tree, the best thing is what's the ripened fruit. But now there's a very nice example. Shuka mukat amrita dravya samyatam. It's coming from Shukadeva Goswami's mouth. And because it's coming from Sukadeva Goswami's mouth, it's amrita. It's wonderful. It even becomes better. And that's such, you know the nice analogy? The fruit, when touched by the parrot, becomes even more sweet. I'm trying to understand scientifically how it works, but the fruit is ripe, and when a parrot bites it, you know, so maybe it breaks the skin or something, you know, it probably even increases the ripening process. So it even becomes better. The Bhagavatam even becomes better. We see there that even though Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the inspiration of Narada Muni, in the picture in the Bhagavatam here in the front, they're sitting there in the front, Sukadeva Goswami, if you look in the inside cover, they're listening. And they're relishing. Even though Vyasadeva spoke it, his mood is, I've never heard this before. See, the nature of love of Godhead is called a purvata. A purvata means unprecedented. The nature of love of Godhead is that each time you experience it, the mood is this is the first time. Every time Krishna sees Radharani, he's thinking this is the first time. It's unprecedented. So when he's speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, when he's speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, even Vyasadeva, who wrote it, and Narada Muni, his guru, inspired him, is sitting there listening and relishing and thinking, never before have I heard this. And it's presented so wonderfully also, because you understand, it's like, it almost becomes mixed. It's like another ingredient. When a speaker speaks, his own affection and emotions and realizations are added to what he speaks. The Bhagavatam is beautiful, but when it's spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, then his own realization, his own way of just his own emotions and how he presented it, his own realization, even if you say the same thing, but with your realization, it may be the same words, but with your realization, it becomes very, very wonderful and very, very, it's added. It's described when the pure devotee speaks, his voice is mixed with the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So, sukha, mukha, amrita. Now, this word drava, which is actually, I never realized this before, but also from Borijan I heard this. What drava means is semi-solid and soft and therefore easily swallowable. I don't like to have things that are grains because I'm too lazy. And to chew them down, it takes, you know, so much effort. That's why I always like dal. Because it's already cooked. It's much easier. You know, rice, it's so many little grains that you gotta chomp, 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 chomp. But, you know, it, like sweet rice, that I think drava is also like sweet rice. It's one of the four, you know. Sweet rice is so great because the rice is kind of melted, you know, in the cooked down milk. It's very easy to take down and very relishable. So you see, because it came from Sukadeva Goswami by his realization that it's done in such a way that it becomes easy to digest. And not only that, if you start, well, I'll speak about that later. It becomes easy to digest and easy to appreciate. Therefore, it says that that's why Prabhupada, it's relishable for all. That's what it means. It's relishable for all. Even though it's the ripened fruit, the nature of the disciplic succession is, even though it's the ripened fruit and the best thing of the Vedas, and in one sense, the ripened fruit is the easiest to eat. So it's relishable. He's made it by when Sukadeva Goswami spoke it, it became relishable for everyone. But even though it became, as Prabhupada said, semi-solid and soft and therefore easily swallowable, samyutam, it's still perfect. It's still perfect in all respects. Not that it became easy, right? And therefore there's some imperfection, as the Buddhists and Mayavadis may think about Krishna consciousness. Because it's become so easy, right? Therefore it's imperfect. Therefore it's not, no, it's still samyutam. It's still perfect. Come in. You heard that knock too? Okay. Vibhata Bhagavatam. Vibhata Bhagavatam. Do relish it, therefore. Take it. Do relish it. Vibhata Bhagavatam, the book dealing in the science of the eternal relationship, of this Bhagavatam Rasam. Bhagavatam Rasam. This rasa unto Krishna. This is the real rasa that will actually, this is the real taste. The affection for God. This love of Godhead, which is our eternal relationship. Prabhupada makes an interesting point in the purport that rasas are exchanged between members of the same species. But far as the spirit souls are concerned, they are qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the rasas were originally exchanged between the spiritual living being and the spiritual whole, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual exchange, or rasa, is fully exhibited in spiritual existence between living beings and the Supreme Lord. That's our rasa. Our rasa is that we're part and parcel of God. Bhagavatam rasam. That's our rasa. In the material world, it's between bodies. And because the bodies are, we identify with the bodies for enjoyment, the rasa is perverted, because the rasa is not love, but lust. It's always mixed, because we're identified with the bodies, and identifying with the bodies means fruit of consciousness, selfishness, lust. And therefore the relationships in the material world never mature into that full rasa. That affection, that real love, is not really manifest in the material world. But it's between Krishna, it's between the living entity and Krishna. You have the full rasa. Bhagavatam rasam. And that we have to be, therefore Vibhata Bhagavatam Rasam. Therefore we have to really go for that. That's what that's the real taste. That's the real rasa prapa, and you know, the nectar of devotion, mellow, or taste, or flavor. That's the real flavor. That's the real flavor. That's the real taste. So nice in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how that's described also. That somehow or other, it's not selfish. Our happiness is not selfish. Even though the pure devotee is striving for this rasa, it's not selfishness. The two reasons. One, it's because he's actually striving to please Krishna. And his happiness gives Krishna pleasure. Therefore, our service is to become happy. Just like if you're in a relationship with someone and you serve them, if you really love them, your service is to be happy about it. Your service is to actually appreciate it and actually to relish it. That's your service. So it's not material. It's just like when you take a feast. I'm doing this Zen stuff with you now. It's just like when you take a feast, right? Let's say you go to, you can even make a mundane example, like the birthday party of a friend who you really love, right? Your love for him means that you have to enjoy the meal. You have to feed. You have to eat. That's your love for him. Your pleasure is your love for him. It's not that you go to a party, right, in glorification of your friend, right? And you try not to enjoy the food. We have a fee, you celebrate the appearance day of an acharya. It's our service to enjoy. Haribo, Haribo. Another glubjubbin. Another rascula. Haribo, Haribo. Jai. Glories to Srila Bhakti Vinod. So, Bibhita Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. Alayam means until liberation, or even in the liberated condition. Until liberation, or even in a liberated condition. And that's the example of Sukadeva Goswami. Not only liberation, in other words, until liberation. Or even in a liberated condition. That's when the real relish begins. So the Bhagavatam is meant to bring us to the point of liberation. It's meant to bring us to the point where we can actually appreciate these things. Therefore, at the beginning, it said Dhimahi. It quoted the Gayatri Mantra. It quoted the Gayatri Mantra because the Gayatri Mantra is meant to purify one's consciousness and bring it to the mode of goodness. So the meditation on the Bhagavatam and the subject matters of the Bhagavatam is so expertly presented that it actually will bring us one to the perfection so we actually can appreciate Krishna. Muhur, always. When should we relish it? Vipita Bhagavatam, Rasamalayam? Always. Aho, rasika, bhuvi, bhavaka. It's relishable for all. It's presented by Sukha, so any sincere listener who hears it carefully can relish transcendental taste, but also, bhuvi means on the earth, bhavaka. For those who are expert, thoughtful people, discrimination, who actually know what to do and what not to do. And also it means bhavuka. It means also that expert and thoughtful, that they'll also do it in a very careful way. Because just the example of the ripened fruit, if you throw it down from the top, it could break. It has to be passed down. You have to receive it from the teacher. You have to go up to it very carefully to the ripened fruit. It's on the top of the tree. That kind of sense. And therefore Prabhupada discusses Sukadeva Goswami, yet despite being completely liberated, situated in the transcendental position. Oh no, this is another... the Bhagavatam, it has to be received properly. Therefore one must be very careful. You must hear it very carefully because it's so wonderful and it's so ripe, it's so sweet. You must hear it carefully. By submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain the full. But one must be very careful to hear the message from the right source. Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly received from the right source. It was brought by Narada Muni from the spiritual world and given to his disciple Sri Vyasadeva, who later in turn delivered the message to his son Srila Shukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami delivered it to Marge Prickett. It must be heard properly. The ripened fruit is not dropped all of a sudden. It comes down carefully through the chain of the cyclic succession. Sukadeva presents it very carefully. So it's presented carefully, so it also must be heard very carefully and systematically. One should be intelligent to know the position of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering personalities like Shukadeva Goswami, who deal with the subject so carefully. This process suggests that in the future, it has to be understood from a representative of Shukadeva Goswami. And Rasika means a connoisseur, one who actually knows these truths. Because it's the best thing. Ones who are connoisseurs will appreciate it. It's perfectly composed, Rasika scripture, perfectly composed. It's a science of love and how all, I discussed briefly, Rasa, how all the emotional components must be there perfectly. It takes a connoisseur also. A connoisseur will really appreciate it. Or a connoisseur, even a connoisseur can appreciate it, because a connoisseur can't appreciate anything. If someone's a connoisseur and you give them some concocted food preparation, and if there's, you know, too much salt or this, or the wrong combinations are mixed, or the vegetables are not cooked enough or cooked too much, the wrong combination of spices, or it's too hot, or the temperature is not good, if you pick, you know, like a connoisseur, he'll reject it. I'm only a connoisseur of dal. I'm very particular when it comes to dal, somehow or other. So if you can make dal that even I can appreciate, then it's good. So the Bhagavatam is a scripture that rasika, people who are connoisseurs, who know all these things. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was at Jagannath Puri, Srup Damodar, who was rasika, he would check the literatures to see if it was perfect. Otherwise, Lord Chaitanya would be disturbed. Connoisseur is disturbed when things are not up to standard. And Lord Chaitanya, who was experiencing all these ecstasies, if things weren't composed properly, he'd be disturbed. So it's Rasika Bhuvi Bhavaka. Are there any questions?
So very, very nourished on it. In the class, there was one statement that I thought I heard correctly, and that was that you said that to experience that perfect, or the ripened fruit, though one has to go through other Vedic paths, one has to go through the modes and be situated. But this is the easiest and most direct path. Was that implying that we don't have to come to the mode of goodness?
No, it will bring us to the mode of goodness, but we don't have to start there to practice it.
Okay.
It's a good question. In other paths, you know, you can't do Jnana Yoga, Stanga Yoga, unless you're already at that kind of stage. And therefore, you can't actually engage in a process of transcendental realization unless you go through some, prescribed duties and purification. But the nature of devotional service is that whatever condition you're at, you can begin chanting the holy name and take initiation and worship Krishna. In other words, you can engage in a process of self-realization no matter what stage you're at. See, therefore, in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it describes in the seventh chapter, the first verse, when it describes just here from me, that's the process, and you focus the consciousness on. I'm not sure if it's there, but it describes just so many yogic processes. Is there a Bhagavad Gita there?
It's behind.
You can get it.
Different types of yoga, only stepping stones sometimes.